Prime Minister, though, Bill English is with us. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Mike.
So let's talk about your immigration. Are you looking to walk it back, these changes you've announced due to be implemented in August? Are you looking to walk these things back in some way, shape or form or not?
Well, we're listening to the feedback and we'll make some decisions over the next couple of weeks. We've been trying to, we've been getting the skill mix right. We've got an economy generating 10,000 new jobs a month. There's a lot of work to be done out there. We want to make sure New Zealanders can get their jobs. We want to make sure we've got the right skills for the people coming in. And there's a lot of parameters there. And some of those parameters we've had feedback that they're too tight.
But the feedback, and you and I have discussed this at length, because I have yet to hear an answer from you guys that makes any sense. Why would a centre-right government look to make doing business more difficult, which is exactly what you've done?
No, we're not looking to make business more difficult, but we are getting feedback from the businesses that some of the parameters in the policy could make it harder for them to get skills that they really need. And
exactly,
we do need these people.
That was patently obvious. Yet why couldn't you see it?
I don't think it was patently obvious. I mean,
if you take a restaurant and they need people in their kitchen and suddenly they need to earn way more than they currently do, how does that not mean it's not harder to do business?
Well, look, if an industry like hospitality just needs to make sure that it is investing in people and upskilling them and making sure that if Kiwis are available, they're getting them. We don't want our big sectors of the economy relying on an inflow of people from overseas. But when there's so much job creation going on, so much work that needs to be done, then we're willing to work with them just to get the balance right. It's all about the balance here.
Well, yes, I understand that. But I mean, between the restaurant industry, the hospitality industry, the trucking industry, the farming industry, they've all said exactly the same thing, haven't they?
And horticulture as well.
And horticulture as well. How long's that line? All telling you the same thing.
Well, and that's, look, we put the proposals out. There's parts of it that make a bigger difference than others, and that's the feedback that we're listening to. But look, this is good news. We've got, particularly in our regions,
good news because you're correcting a mistake that you shouldn't have made in the first place.
Well, no, we put out a proposition. The policy hasn't actually changed.
The proposition was stupid. And we told you that at the time. It didn't work. It made no sense. You were going to get pushback and feedback on it. It's exactly what you've got. Now you've got to walk it back.
Well, look, we're trying to get the balance right. It's always about a bit of tweaking and working with industry. That's what we're doing. And it's reflecting a strongly growing economy. And that's the right reason to be reconsidering some aspects of it.
All right, this housing announcement yesterday. The companies that come in, the international companies that come in, the private sector companies that come in to supply the water pipes or the roads or whatever it is there, what's preventing them gouging the people involved in the houses?
Oh, look, the model we're using here is the one that we've used for the rolling out ultra-fast broadband, where we've got some government capital that's helping sort of bridge a gap for early on with the broadband network, and then the rest of it's actually private capital, in this case mainly Chorus, but also other companies. So they're bound by a contract. So essentially what would happen here is the council and the government write a contract with anyone who's an investor, which will include the government, will be one of the investors, because we put aside $600 million for this. And that contract will make it clear what pricing can be charged.
So you're dictating the pricing that they'll be able to charge?
Well, it'll probably reflect what the councils currently do. I mean, generally, the way our system works, land in general is more expensive than it should be. And probably some of the new infrastructure should cost a bit more than it currently does.
So if you're setting the terms for the private investment to come in, are you still confident there are private investors who want to come in at a rate that they may not like?
Well, they won't come in if they don't like the rate.
Well,
they can't make a reasonable
return.
But
you need them to come in, though. That's the whole purpose of this announcement.
Yeah, and look, we've done a bit of this, as I said, with Crown Fibre Holdings and the ultra-fast broadband. We're doing it with social housing. And what we found is that the investors ask a lot of good, hard questions. We end up getting a more efficient use of the cash and a better product. So that's what we're expecting here.
Labor's made a couple of significant announcements, policy announcements. There's $4 billion going into education, no more donations for some schools, a centralised cancer service, contributions are being kickstarted back into the super fund. Do any of those are genuine points of difference now, aren't they, between you and them?
Well, yeah, look, more bureaucracy for cancer, that's a genuine point of difference. We don't believe more bureaucracy is an answer. And with all the spending, which they're spraying around a bit now, the point, it all just seems a bit purposeless. I mean, when you put money in, we expect to get more kids passing NCA level two, for instance, in education, or quicker cancer treatment, for instance, or fewer children going to hospital for avoidable diseases. So they're not focused on results. They're just focused on getting the money out the door. There's no point spending more money if you don't know what you're going to get for it. And in that sense, the policy sounds a lot like 2011 and 2014 with a different name on it.
If you have to deal with Peters after the election and he asks to be Prime Minister, will you step aside and allow him to have the job so he can run the country?
Look, if 90% of New Zealand don't vote for Winston Peters, which is likely, they're not going to want him to be Prime Minister.
Do you find it remarkable he would even ask?
Nothing Mr. Peters does surprises anyone. I think he's saying all sorts of stuff. He's barking at every passing car. But the voters will determine who has to work with who.
All right. And did you use over the weekend when the billboards went up, did you use a staple gun deliberately, fearing your ability with a hammer?
No, I'm not too bad with a hammer. I've done a lot of hammer and nails in my time.
So you'd back yourself with a hammer and nails?
It's just a lot faster with a staple gun. I'd back myself on hammer and nails, Mike.
Good on
you. I hope you would too.
I know.
Practical man that you are.
Exactly right. You're well read. Bill English.